Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's time for some change. It's time for change. You see so many things going on, so many things. I'm not even talking about things on the news. I'm talking about things that pertain to the church.
Yes.
You know, and we're so busy. We're so busy preaching Jesus on his way back, and he probably is. We just don't know when, but I wouldn't be so concerned about it right now until the church gets itself right.
Amen.
He's coming back for a church that's mature in the things of God, where they have come to a place in their lives where they have learned to love their brothers and their sisters without having them love them back. That is a great trial. In 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. No, you read this. We all read it. You read it, I read it. We all read it. The 14th verse. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that one died for all. We thus judge that one died for all. We're all dead. Then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we know known Christ, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh. Yet now henceforth know we him no more after the flesh. I put that part in. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a
new.
A what?
New.
A what?
New.
I didn't hear you.
New.
A new creature. Amen. Oh, what?
Amen.
Have did what?
Pathway.
And all things. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and have given to us the ministry of reconciliation. My God. Somebody say that word again. Reconciliation. It is a very powerful word. The word reconciliation. Look at what God is. Look at what God has done. My God, look what he's done for us.
Yeah,
I am excited about what God is doing, where he is moving in our midst, how he is reconciling us, bringing us back to himself. Yeah. It's important. This, you know, we get caught up in this time of the season because it's supposed to represent the birth and the resurrection of Christ. But we ought to get caught up in every season because every season represents the birth and the resurrection of Christ.
Amen.
This season should not separate. You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me that people who have the words of Jesus written in their Bibles in red thinks that means more than what the apostles had to say, which was written in black. Okay.
Well,
I'm wound up. Turn me loose. For the love of Christ constraineth us. I like that, Brother Andy, because it has great meaning. It has powerful meaning. For the love. We know when it talks about the word love here, we're talking about agapeo, or it means that type of love which is spontaneous. How many know that the word constraineth means to hold together, to compress? Well, what is he saying? When you allow the attributes and the manifestation of that love that's in your life, which is unconditional love, it's unconditional, and it's, what did we say it was? It was spontaneous. That's the type of love that gives you the ability from when God works through you, the spontaneous love, the unconditional love, where you can reach out and love somebody in spite of how they're treating you or what they think about you or how they feel about you. It's called spontaneous. That's when the word spontaneous represents the very power, when you yield yourself to the word that's on the inside of you, and the word loves them regardless of what you think in your mind. It constrains you. It holds you together. Because you know, it's easy. We just fly right off the handle. Go absolutely ballistic. But when you think about the love of God, Translation, the character and the nature of God, which is the love of God, because Jesus so loved the world that he gave his only Father loved the world, he gave his only God Son that we might have what? Life. And have what? Life more abundantly. These things that I do, you shall do. And even so, if I came to be abundant life, what are you supposed to be doing? And it's the love of the Father, it's the love of God, it's the Christ in you, your hope of glory, that gives you the ability to constrain yourself, to hold yourself together, to piece yourself together, so that you can love unconditionally.
Yes.
It's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you, pastors, till your knees get weak. Begin to buckle. Because you be telling yourself, I cannot do this. They ain't worth it. Let's keep it real. They just ain't worth it. There's a lot of folks in my life, I'll be talking to myself, Lord, it ain't worth it. And God will say, you weren't either.
Amen. Amen.
Because we thus judge that one died, or the word judge, the translation for the word judge means that you acknowledge something. It don't mean that you done criticized him or you done said a certain thing, but you judge them in a way where you determine. Because we thus determine that one died for all, then we're all dead. The word died means to die off. It means that he died off in his everyday life. He particularly died off. That's where Paul got the saying from. I must die daily. It's something that you are a work in construction. You're under construction. God is working on us to get us to a state of mind. Where our ideas and the principles and the concepts that we have in our life began to represent the God that we claim live in us.
Amen.
You notice I say we claim live in us. Thus determined that one died, or Christ died, or died off for all. Then we're all dead. Or are we? Look at your neighbor if one is next to you and say, I'm under new management. I fired the slumlord and I'm living under new management. We all know who the slumlord is, don't we? Hell glory. And that he died for all, that they which, what? Live. That they which, somebody say, they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves. What is he saying? He's calling forth another verse. It says, for you have been bought with a price. You are no longer your own. So whose are you?
Christ.
Are you Christ? Or are you your money's? Are you your mother's, your father's, your brother's, your sister's? Do you belong to your car? You'd be amazed at the things saints put before God. It's quiet in this house. I think I need a drink. It's all in the house, Brother Russell. Thank you. Praise the Lord. I feel I can go on now. And they, living as they which live, should henceforth live unto themselves. What it's saying is, if you allow the love of God, the very character, the nature of God, which is living in you, because you know now that you are under new management, you're no longer trying to manage yourself, and you know. You're under new management, and this manager has moved in with you and living on the inside of you, leading you and guiding you down the pathway of righteousness. If you're under this new management, you are learning not to live henceforth by yourself or according to yourself.
Amen.
which live should not henceforth live unto themselves or live in themselves. That means you no longer allow your mind to control what you do and how you carry on the ministry of God.
Yeah.
Right now.
Yeah. I'll tell you in a minute. Bumped in. They ain't done nothing good for me. All they did was ridicule, persecute, fight, backbite. And God said, and then he'll say, whose word are you standing on?
That's right.
Because you're not standing on my word.
Amen. Amen.
Because my word says, my commandment is pray for them that despitefully use you. Love them that hate you. That's what my word says. Now, whose principles are you living by? And I got news for you. It's not going to get any better. Every new year we go into, things are going to be worse. But I got more news for you. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. Now, the book of Psalms says, 1,000 shall fall at thy left side and 10,000 at thy right. God said you are protected by the blood. As long, hold it. Oh, yeah, it is, Andy Pastor Keys. God don't leave nothing without attaching something. If you allow me to abide in you, and you abide in me, if you do what I tell you to through my word, and you allow me to work through you through my word, then you're protected. You're kept by the very power of God. I'm under new management. I'm no longer trying to manage myself. Because when I manage myself, I get myself in selfish things. And I am out of control. So, they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. The word rose means to arouse. He rose in that he is now in you, trying to wake you up from your sleep.
Come on now.
Yeah, man. All right.
Wake you up from your slumber. Your spiritual slumber in God. Whereas you no longer pray without ceasing. You no longer study to show yourself approved, a worker that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You no longer love them that hate you. You no longer pray for them which despitefully use you. You no longer have compassion with folks that don't have compassion for you. If you thought it was going to be easy, you should have stayed in the world. Then you can dog people and be happy about it. Cuss them out and don't feel no remorse. Yeah, okay. All righty then. Look at this. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Now this one threw me for a loop. God, what are you saying? I'm not supposed to know Pastor Keys after the flesh. I'm not supposed to know Pastor Relford after the flesh. Well, I'm looking at him, and he's sitting there laughing at me. Pastor Keys looking up, trying to hold back his laughter so that I don't call him out on it. But nevertheless, how am I not to know them after the flesh? God is saying, just like I said, I search the intents of the heart. Then you're supposed to arrive at a place and a condition or a circumstance in your life by allowing me to live through you, that you will search the intents of their heart and not the actions of their body. So henceforth, no man. We know that the word no means gnosto, that which you know through understanding. You know through understanding that you can't trust the arm of flesh. Oh, Lord have mercy. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Wow, well, she'll turn her head. How many of you have known Christ after the flesh? Raise your hand. Anybody known Christ after the flesh? I'm waiting. You sure? Sound like trivia, don't it? Wherefore, henceforth, knowing we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ. You notice he uses the word what? Christ and not Jesus Christ. For there's a different meaning. If he had used the word Jesus Christ, it would have been the Messiah, which you could have not have known after the flesh. Right. But because it uses the word Christ, who is the one that died and rose again and now living, who is Emmanuel, living on the inside of him, you can know him after the flesh. Ha! Because now he in you, he abides in you. So when people touch you, when they watch you, when they know you, and they know that they see Jesus in you, they can know him after the flesh. But the point that he is making here, he wants you to come to a place where they no longer know you after your flesh. They only see Jesus as a spirit and the anointing coming forth from your life.
Amen.
Amen. I think I lost some of y'all on that one.
Yeah.
I couldn't make it. I couldn't break it down no more because I'm excited. Have known. Hallelujah. Somebody say have known. To know. But then it says, but you no longer, you know, we know him no more. No more. Here's the pot of beans running over. They don't know him no more because they see you. What is it about you that they see? That you are a walking, living, breathing, talking, praying, anointed epistle of God.
Amen.
You no longer read the Bible, but you are now the Bible.
Amen.
Amen.
You are an epistle. The only thing is, you're not in this book. But guess what? You're going to be in somebody's book, which is written on the tablet of their hearts. And you see, what you don't know about Jesus, you know him no more as the man that was beaten without end, without mercy. You know him as a risen Savior.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know him as a deliverer.
Yeah.
You know him as a way maker.
Come on now.
You know him as a miracle worker.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know him as a conciliator.
Yeah.
You know him as a healer.
Yeah.
You know him because he's done these things in your life.
Yeah.
You know him no more the way he was, but you know him like he is now with the power of God to resurrect you, quicken your very flesh, quicken your mind, quicken your soul, bring you back from dead and bring you into the marvelous light.
Yeah.
I thank God for the light.
Yes. Amen.
It says, so if you now understand all this, then it says, therefore, boy, oh boy, oh boy. Therefore, look at somebody say, I'm still under new management. Ooh, Lord God, I'm under new management. I'm not trying to manage myself. Nobody else can manage me. I'm under new. And the word new means fresh. I'm under a fresh new management. Fresh representing the anointing of God, the newness of life, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. Glory to God. Therefore, any man, I know your Bible says if, but if the original writings, the word if isn't there. Because it would change the whole situation, the sentence from a verb action to a question. Therefore, if, it turns into a question. It's not a question. It's a statement.
Yeah.
Man.
It's a commandment. Therefore, any man. Any, you notice, any man? A discouraged man. A broken man. A hellion man. A drunkard man. An adulterer man. All kind of men. Any man. That means the power of God has the ability to deliver any man. But they need to run into an epistle of God.
Hallelujah.
You be that epistle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Therefore, any man, whereunto any man be in Christ, he is a
new.
He a what?
New creature.
A new creature?
Mm-hmm.
Mm. New creation. You are a new creation. Amen. You know when you say, I'm not where I want to be, but I'm not what I was?
Amen.
That's a true statement because you are a new creation.
Right.
You're under new management.
Yes.
Usually when the house or a company goes under new management, what is the first thing they do? They get rid of all the riffraff. They throw out all the garbage. They start to remodel from the inside out. We're under new management. God is trying to throw out all that garbage that's in our life, bring us out of our sleep mode, and quicken our minds that we might see Him as He is.
Yeah.
Because if you can see Him as He is, then you'll know who you are.
Amen.
Yeah. I'm closing.
Thank you, Lord.
A new, fresh, anointed creature, creation. Here's the part that aligns itself with the rest of the verses. Old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Old, somebody say old.
Old.
Huh. Y'all didn't say that with authority. Old.
Old.
Yeah, that's it. Things are passed away. Old, meaning an ancient. The ancient. Or, Latin translation for the ancient is the original.
Thank you,
Chris. Uh-oh.
Yes.
Brother Fred, I'm finna score a 3-pointer on this one. The original man.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Who wasn't happy with his abode.
Yeah.
Wasn't happy with his beautiful wife. Wasn't thrilled that he could call down fire from heaven. Make the seas stop rolling. Make the rivers dry up. He wasn't thrilled that he could speak to the tree and tell it to die. He wasn't thrilled that he could speak to the corn and say grow and it grow. He wasn't thrilled that he could control the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea. He wasn't thrilled that he controlled the beasts of the earth. He, tell me, why wouldn't you be thrilled about that? I'm thrilled just to know I can get in my car and it'll start. He wasn't thrilled about having the power of God. The original, that old, ancient one.
Yeah.
Call him the old dog. You know, they say his bark is bigger than his bite. Not this one. This one bark will land you in jail. All right. Don't tell on yourself. Old things. Or it also means prime evil. Mm. Another translation for the word ancient, old. Prime evil. How many of you know what prime evil is? I didn't hear, brother. Anything?
In the beginning.
In the beginning. Something had the ability to devour.
Yeah.
Well, glory to God. Y'all don't want this. I'm almost done. I'm almost done. All things are passed away. Remember, we're under new management. We are new creatures if we are in Christ. And all things are passed away. The word passed doesn't mean that it's no longer in existence, but it means that you're leaving it behind. It means that it no longer has the authority over your life.
Right.
Lord, have mercy, Jesus. Behold. Somebody say, behold.
Behold.
Perceive. Allow your perception. Stop allowing everything you go through that you see and hear and feel move how you enter into God's praise. He said, enter into his gates with praise and with thanksgiving. If you allow that old thing not to pass away, he'll prevent you from entering in that manner. And if you can't enter in that manner, then you're going to miss God. I am excited about what God is doing. I have folks giving me testimonies of dreams that they've been having where they've been in the upper room. I've heard folks that weren't speaking in tongues, interpreting tongues. I'm seeing God move by his spirit. It's the presence of God. That's because he's calling the old things to be brought into subjection to what is new. Behold, if you could see it, if you can see it, if you can see it, you can possess it. And if you possess it, then you realize all things are become new. That means by the transforming or the renewing of your mind, your perception and your ideology and your attitude is changing to a way where you see God working in everything. You see God working in that person you've been calling the devil for the last 20 years. All of a sudden, he's done something good. Because your perception has changed. The word of God is changing your mindset and your ideas, and you no longer see things the way you used to see them because that old ancient one is no longer controlling what you see and how you feel about what you see. All things are passing away, meaning it's slowly coming under subjection to the very power of God. And then all things are what? Becoming new, afresh. And if that happens, then that all things are of God. Theos. The revealed God, the one that's on the inside of you, Christ, your hope of glory. Revealing to you, living through you, moving in you, giving you insight and enlightening you, seeing that in the midst of the darkness and seeing that there's still light. Glory to God. Who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. The Father hath redeemed us, restored us, revived us, and quickened us unto himself through his Son. So you've got to make sure the Son is always living in you. Because that's the only way to the Father. I don't care what they preach. Jesus is the only way to the Father. The only way. They can preach all they want to preach. They can preach there ain't no Holy Ghost, but they better be wise enough to know that they got to have Jesus. Because I don't care how much you speak in tongues and jump up and down, you may be able to call sky blue and it turn blue, but if you ain't doing it through Jesus, then you still ain't going to see him. Who hath reconciled us to by Jesus Christ and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. We have this ministry in us of reconciliation. If you don't, you know what? I like the way I play with words. It says rec. Most folks you come in contact with are in a wreck and to figure out a way to conceal it. But the relation part gives you the ability to bring it to naught and exhume that dead in them and bring it back to life. Because that same power, we were dead in trespass and sin, and God exhumed us, quickened us in our mortal flesh, and gave us life. That now we have the power to bring the old man and put him and bring him under subjection to the very word of God that's in our life. We are without excuse. That's why he told them, oh foolish Galatians, you are without excuse.
Yeah.
We make excuses for not doing what's right in the eyes of God, and there are none. I don't care if they called you a dog. I don't care what they said about you. I don't care if somebody stole your car. I don't care if they beat you up. There is no reason for you not to erupt. Come on now.
Preach.
I've been in all them situations and almost failed all of them. But it's something about the power of God.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, Lord, have mercy.
Yeah. Holy Ghost.
Ooh, that's
Have you not known what the scripture said? It is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profit nothing.
Yea, the words that I speak, they are both spirit and they are life. And yea, ye have these on the inside of this temple that I built, that was not built by hands, but it was by me, said God. And yea, I ordained it, and I set it to naught, said God. And yea, it shall go forth and reproduce in this earth, and reproduce in this earth, and bring forth my love, and bring forth my joy and my peace, and the fruit shall be in thee, shall be rest in thee, said God. And it shall come forth, and they shall know the fruits of the tree that is barren, and said God. But I am the one that's living on the inside of you. I am the one that's strengthening you. I'm the one that's guiding you. I'm the one that's quickening your flesh, said God. So look unto me. I'm still the author. I'm still the finisher. And I have not changed toward you, said God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to your name, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hey, my God. Hallelujah. Yeah, my shete, shete. Surely I have not changed toward thee. Lord God, we thank you this morning. We praise you this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God has taken us to a new level. Only them that have faith enough to go are going to go. I'm learning some. I'm still learning. I'm learning how what God is all about and how he still moves. Amen. God likes to move in the midst of our calamity. He moves in the midst of our pain. He moves in our aggravation and our distresses. He moves in our sicknesses. He moves in our heartaches. He moves in our financial difficulties. He moves in all of that stuff. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God is great. I can boast in the things of God and the very power of God. And I don't care where you may be, what your circumstance is, God's not going to forsake you or leave you. He'll be with you even until the end of the earth.
Well, I know my thoughts towards you. My thoughts are the thoughts of love and the love of my son. That is what I place towards you. And the spirit of reconciliation. The ancient one, he stole you away from me, but I sent my son and he retrieved you. He retrieved all that was lost. And he didn't lose anyone. And neither shall he lose you. For you are bound to me by my body, through the body of my son. And through my son, you have life, and that more abundantly. You have even the eternal life.
So fret not for these things that seem to assail you, for I am in thee and I have overcome the world. And because you are in me, ye shall be overcomers. Ye are seated at the right hand of glory. Ye are seated in me and I in you. Therefore, nothing can move you. Nothing can take you. Nothing can stop you. I am the Lord your God, and I shall lead you, and we shall be victorious, because I go before you to make easy and successful your way, saith the Lord.
Wonderful, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 God has shown me and revealed to me He's moving us back into the realm. We constantly talk about how we've missed God because we're no longer having the power that the disciples had. But we do.
Yeah.
We
yeah.
do have that same power.
Yeah. Yeah.
The knowledge and the wisdom of all of it is that the power is in the Word.
Yeah.
That's what they recognize.
Yeah.
All
yeah.
the power from above was in God's Word.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Word of God is so strong and sharp and
yeah.
powerful and quick. Cutting even to the asunder. It has the ability to heal, to deliver. It has the ability to resurrect, to rekindle, to fire up. That's what the Word of God has the power to do. The Word of God can make you be strong when you feel like being weak. The Word of God will make you run when you feel like walking. The Word of God will give you the eyesight when you cannot see. The Word of God will allow you to see over to the Spirit when there's nothing there to be seen. The Word of God is light and life everlasting. That's why we have to have the Word of God in our lives, because you're going to come to a situation in your life where there's not going to be a prophet of God or a woman of God or an evangelist of God. You're going to have to know God for yourself and call upon that Word within you and believe that God's going to move for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When Jesus was on the mount, Satan went up to tempt him. He went up there to be tempted in his weakest moment. He hadn't eaten for 40 days. Hadn't drinking anything for 40 days. That was his weakest moment. But what he wanted us to see, we see everything, but what we want to see, how he beat up on the devil and all that. But you know what I saw? I saw that in his weakest state, he stood on the Word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone. And he wasn't talking about food. Man shall not live by everybody else's ideas. But only by the word that proceeded out of the mouth of God shall man live.
Yes, yes, yes.
Old things. I'm under new management class. New management. And we ought to start living like we're under new management. Amen. God's got a people in the earth that he's preparing to do warfare. Warfare with words, with knowledge, with understanding, which is engrafted with the love of God. Amen. That's what's going to deliver, folks. It's going to be the love of God. If the love of God constraineth you, imagine if that love can flow out from you into somebody else, how much they'll have.
That's right.
It's all about your conversation. Not your words, but your lifestyle.
Amen.
It's up to us. Glory to God. I was reading in Nehemiah, when Nehemiah was talking about the remnant that God was bringing about to rebuild the wall and to establish a covenant with God. Sometimes it takes a remnant or a nucleus of people to believe and trust God for the mighty outpouring of God. But you know, only them that stand unto the end shall see the best that God has for us and the best that God has for us. Amen. So I'm excited about how God is moving. I'm excited about these two men of God that God have allowed us to grow up in this ministry together. Amen. I'm excited about the elders that God has put us, the brothers, the ushers, the different ones that God is using, our musicians and our singing. I'm excited about it. Amen. I'm excited because even though we don't have the mega church potential, we have the mega church experience. All the gifts operate in this church. And there ain't never a service where you don't experience the saturation. Oh, my shit. Of the presence of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.